time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler with my co-host Jeff, and today we are on the topic of conversation of courageous or cowardly and what it means to be both. Jeff?
I think I would, okay, I don't want to be both, but I have to admit I'm a coward more than I'm courageous.
I can say for a fact I am most definitely the same.
You know, I was trying to think about when you first mentioned this last night to me, this whole idea about discussing this today. Tell me, you know, as you think about this subject, what comes to your mind? What's one of the first images or sounds for you, whatever, maybe a story, maybe sure. A movie line? What is it for you that just kind of comes to you that you draw inspiration from in your times of cowardice and you want to be courageous?
Sure. I just think of, you know, I hear the word courage. I just think of the absolute willingness to do what's right. If that's, you know, genuinely what you believe in your heart of hearts, you would be willing to basically do anything to prove that to yourself, prove that to those who maybe deny you or say that you're wrong.
Where did that come from? What did you do right?
I think of a story in the sense of, you know, it's been years ago, back to when I was a teenager. There was an incident where in our small town, someone had claimed to have a serious illness, and, you know, there was benefits and whatnot set up, and, you know, it was a pretty big deal. Obviously, everybody was very concerned, and there was one person I, you know, remember speaking to me in outspoken, you know, they said, this person doesn't have this illness. And I obviously, you know, said to them, you know, who would say such a thing? Why would you say that? You know, that's a terrible thing to obviously say. All these things are going on and all these people are helping out and supporting and like you're here to tear it down. And they said, just trust me, this person doesn't have this illness. And in hindsight, they were exactly right. The person did not have the illness. And I don't tell this story to cast judgment on the person who faked the illness. They were obviously in a dark spot and they served their time and hopefully their heart is right with God now. And I say that, you know, that story to tell you how courageous would you have to be to stand against everybody and be outspoken to say, you know, like, no, I believe this person doesn't have that, and I know it.
Because I guess in our, especially today in our society, when you challenge a victim like that, you know, it's already in that victim's favor. Like they're already suffering, so you're a bad person for even suggesting they're not sick.
Sure,
right?
Absolutely.
So you're already ostracized. For me, I thought of a childhood story that I've actually shared with others before. I'll give you a real skinny version of this. As a kid, like everyone else, lived in a neighborhood and you kind of run the neighborhood, if you will, on your bike or your big wheel. And this is when I was younger, we had these little plastic big wheels that had the giant big front wheel and the two little wheels. And we were probably a little bigger than we should be to ride those, I will admit. Okay. but we rode them everywhere, and the neighborhood bullies down a block from my house, we would always be a little leery about going by their house because it was not uncommon for them to get their BB guns out and shoot at us. Now,
goodness.
They never actually hit us, but they would shoot our big wheel, right? So you'd hear it bounce off the tire or whatever.
It's like the Hatfields and McCoys? Or?
I'm telling you, man. So, well, one time we went to a friend's house. His name was Reed. And I'm in his front yard. We're playing with my little brother and him. And those bullies come over, and I guess they just, I mean, we're talking 4 or 5 years in difference of age. And I'm in elementary school. And this the biggest one, he had blonde hair, comes over and grabs me and picks me up in the air and is pushing me around. And there's nothing I could do. I mean, it was, you know, this man may as well have been a grown man. He was so big. One swat and he would have put me in a coma. And I remember as I'm sitting there thinking, how in the world am I going to get out of this situation? Terrified out of my mind. And I, my back is to the street, and I hear this car pull up and slam on the brakes. Okay. And the kid holding me, the bully, puts me down without saying a word. And I hear someone walking up behind me in the grass. And all of a sudden, this kid goes off the ground. It's my big brother who's 10 years older than me. Now, this guy's a muscle head, okay? Now, not anymore. He's old and fat. But back in the day.
Had his time.
Yeah, he had his moment.
Time, that's right.
And he grabbed him and said, if you ever. And he said a few things. But if you ever touch my brother again.
We have problems.
We have major problems. You know, I was never afraid again to make that circle in my neighborhood. You know, I never was bothered ever again.
Because something told that guy that he probably wasn't going to do that again, huh?
That's what I think of with courage. I remember how I felt because I felt invincible.
Almost, you know, almost vindicated for the wrong you had suffered.
Well, yeah, and that somebody was going to come and defend me from the wrongs of the world. Now, listen, not all the wrongs of life, but in that moment, I remember how courageous I felt because there was someone bigger than me that had the problems that were threatening me. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And so I was thinking about that when we were doing this kind of contrast thing. And there's a movie. I don't want to drop the name of the movie because then you always get in trouble. But I'll describe it, and those who've seen it will know what I'm talking about. And those who haven't, well, good luck. So what it was, there was this king, and he was put in an impossible situation. This huge army gave him advance notice they were coming, and here's your choice: you can stand down and do nothing and surrender and live, but we will take the best of you and put you in our army, or you can fight and be crushed and we'll take everything you have anyway. And so he's sitting there, he can't sleep at night, and his wife's in bed, and she's like, you know, why are you awake, why aren't you coming to bed? And he's just sitting there in turmoil, and he says, what must a king do to save his world when the very laws he has sworn to protect force him to do nothing? It was an impossible situation. And he's sitting, this guy's a mighty warrior, and he's just like ready to fight, but he can't because of the tension and the difficult task he's been put before him. And so
impasse,
absolutely. And because no matter what he chooses, his people lose, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so she finally says the best thing ever. She says, don't ask what a king would do. Don't ask what a citizen of our country would do. Ask yourself, what would a free man do?
Mm.
And it's like, wow.
The free man would always have courage. That's why he's free.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That whole freedom there is not just free in regard to the laws you're trying to protect, but a freedom free of being afraid of all those things. If
absolutely.
You were just going to do, like you said, if you're going to do the right thing, what would you do?
You'd have courage.
Love it, man. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
It's and you know, that being said, how much easier is it to choose the other side of that and the cowardice when we find ourselves in these moments of big, you know, are we gonna do what's right? Or are we gonna double down? And sometimes we double down. And I often myself anyways, when I find myself in that situation, I feel like I think about it for a long time and regret of, I wish I could do that differently.
Well, we're kind of pre-programmed to save our own skin.
Right. Right? You're so right, though. Yeah. Self-preservation is a very real thing that we all suffer from. I mean, everybody wants to keep their, you know, well-paying job. Everybody wants to keep their kids safe and healthy and sound. And we get stuck sometimes in being cowards to do that.
Well, it's real easy to promise that you will do the right thing when you're not threatened. It's when what you value, aside from that, what you value... For example, you mentioned your job, your livelihood. Well, if you've got a family, especially as a father or a husband, you know, now all of a sudden that act of courage that you could take now could cost you not just your job, but your security with your family.
Exactly. Like, man, what if I end up a failure?
Right.
Nobody wants to feel that way.
I mean, nobody wants to be ridiculed, but nobody also wants to be poor and losing their home.
Yep. And I mean, it's in those moments when you're going to become, you know, you feel as though, man, I could become a failure or I could grow so much bigger out of this situation.
It's one of those things you I guess where discipline plays an incredible role, though we wouldn't necessarily categorize it this way, but where you're having to consciously override the programming. Mm-hmm. And say, no, I'm willing to suffer for this.
Create new thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you kind of rest in that. There's a passage that anyone who's been a believer long has probably bumped into or heard. I remember it was one that I heard as a child. It's Proverbs 3:5-6. It was one when I was in, you know, as a little kid in Sunday school, they would make us memorize, or at VBS. And it was, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And that whole thing is this, you know, it's an easy thing to talk about. It's a very difficult thing to live. Trust in the Lord, not trust in Tyler.
Not trust in self.
Right. Yep. And, but we do. Most of what we do is based on the power and the and in the presence and what you bring to the table of what you can produce, mm-hmm. right? I mean, yep. that's pretty much most of our life.
Yep.
And yet this is saying, no, trust in the Lord. And that's a tall order. How about this one? And lean not on your understanding. Don't use your experience, your education, what you know that you can control the outcomes, but lean on Him.
And I think that's so awesome because there are some brilliant minds in this world. There's no doubt about it. But we can become so smart that we're not smart. Like the most basic things become just right in front of them. They're blindly obvious. Yeah. And we just don't see them because we're so wrapped up in how smart we've become or we think we've become.
Well, we all know the difference between good and bad. We all see the desirable outcomes that we would prefer to experience. And again, back to these situations that we put ourselves in where what we love and value is threatened as opposed to the good that we have opportunity to defend, there's that crossroads. And we're all having to weigh on that impossible scale. What am I going to sacrifice, the good or myself and what I value? Right. What I treasure. And I guess what I'm saying is, do you treasure good more than you treasure your stuff and your, you know what I mean? It's like,
and the thing is eventually the more you compromise the good, the more cowardly we all are, you know, in a more big picture here as a nation.
Yeah.
The more cowardly we all are and the more we all compromise in what we believe in for what they or what we, you know, or we think is good. We lose it all anyway.
Right. It's all the very things you're trying to save, right? Yeah, the things you're trying to save, you're losing.
Yep. Little by little, an inch by inch. Exactly right.
And we're seeing that today. And I know we see the tension, but we're still clinging to these other things that are threatened if we were to take the stand that we should take. And yet, how many of us today are taking those stands?
I think a great modern day stance is the what you hear, the toxic masculinity. I think men need to get back to being masculine. And there's nothing wrong with women being feminine.
No,
they're both
absolutely
powerful,
right.
Wonderful things. But strong men in society are not harmful to society. They're wonderful for society, just as strong women are.
Well, a strong man's not intimidated by a strong woman.
Absolutely. There would be no reason to right. be. Both things can exist on an equal platform, and both men and women have, you know, wonderful things to serve to the world.
You know, I think part of this whole dichotomy of tension that we're talking about is again, outcomes, is that we kind of convince ourselves, talk ourselves into taking a compromise, capitulating, because, again, we're trying, in the end, God doesn't want me to lose my job because then I'd lose my house or whatever it is.
Almost like that kick it down the road, the right, kick the can yeah. down the road approach.
Yeah, yeah. Let somebody else deal with this because yep. and maybe the tensions and the sacrifice won't be required next time. But the point that this passage talks about is that in the end, you know, God is in charge. God is sovereign, and God actually is playing a role not only in the grand scheme, but on a very personal level in our lives. He will make your path straight. And the point that it makes here is that you're not responsible for the outcomes that we often try to take responsibility or credit for.
Sure.
What you're responsible for is being obedient.
Playing your part.
Yeah. And your part is to do the good, no matter what the cost is. And that's possibly the hardest part. Is to surrender the part that you want to control that really belongs to God
mm-hmm.
and just do your part and take the step that's before you and be faithful, even if it costs you everything.
When we get back to those fundamentals, I think we're also going to see a rebirth of unique individualism. Like we're going to see people with their own individual talents and unique abilities that shine through, and we're going to stop seeing maybe a small group or select few as individual gods, because I mean, there's tons of people all around you that are your friends and family that have incredible talents.
There's never been a better time to do the right thing.
That's very true. As always, if we can see it, you can see it too. Visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you will find any podcast listening location you find best. You can also read a little bit about us, find out where we got started, how we got started, and we hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless.
It's Blindly Obvious, baby.